Bless your hearts. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. I was away. Have I mentioned lately I have a grandson? Yes, there'll be more stories. It's Christmas time officially now because Thanksgiving is over, Black Friday is over, Cyber Monday is over, Cyber Week is over. Now we can start thinking about Christmas because things are embedded in the culture, all right? And I want to awaken us to this because it's that season. Now, I've got a couple of video clips I'm going to work in today, and they're to make a point, okay? So if we could kill the lights and run the first one, some of you may have seen this safety commercial. But I want you to acknowledge that what's happening in the commercial is sort of what people think happens. Wouldn't that have been a perfect moment for it to just suddenly start? Eric, flip that light off, will you please? Wear your seatbelt. Now, how many of you identify with that imagery? A couple of you. What do you think happens when you die? Is it over? No, it's not over at all. I have a friend. I tell you what, throw that PowerPoint up for me. I have a friend now of some, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, I guess. And we don't communicate regularly, but we have a high regard for one another. And we share close friendships with others. And I'm going to introduce Mickey's testimony to you in a moment. The season that we're in, how many of you know it's Christmas and not Happy Holiday? Okay. What do you say when someone says Happy Holiday? Very good. You're politically incorrect, and I'm proud of you. Okay. Because it's about the Christ Mast. It's the festival of the Christ. Now, my first, as far back as I can go with this thing, is 1038 A.D., the first written record of this statement. But the whole celebration thing began in the middle of the 4th century in the Roman Empire, and you can read about the history of that and why it's that way, and the people today who contend with it, we shouldn't celebrate it because it's a Druid holiday. Oh, shut up. It's Christmas. Go ahead and pop the next one up. Now, how many of you have ever heard this verse? John 3:6. Are you familiar with it? More than just the controversy about the football game and the, right? Okay. For God so loved that He, His only, that whosoever, everlasting life. Life that does not end, all right? The guys, and I think it was a girl in the back seat, in the commercial, came to the cessation of physical life. But what happened then? The spirit that is actually you shed this shell en route to some destination. Okay? Now then, Show me the next slide. This is from April 25th, 2011, Time Magazine. What if there is no hell? Well, now the pressure's off. This was actually reporting a controversy stimulated by some pastor who was speculating that the Bible might not be accurate about this whole business of hell. Obviously, Jesus was a madman because he actually believed in it, reportedly went there and came back with some trophies. Now, I want to say this about that. You can believe anything you want to because this is America. All right? And it doesn't matter what religion you have, you're an American. What's going to matter is, can you die with the one you've got? I had an opportunity to watch a stand-up comedian. Can you believe that? And somewhere in the middle of his act, he says, I believe in God. Yeah, I said it. When did believing in God become uncool? I mean, you got to believe in something. Why else are we here? I want my kid to believe in God. You know, there are 50,000 religions on this planet. You know what that means? Somebody's going to be wrong. I can see us now, a group of us sitting in hell. Yeah, I thought it was us. I put mine on Jesus, you know. The odds were 1 to 8. I figured, what? Who knew it was going to be a giant green frog from Africa? I didn't see that coming. Now, the culture is willing to entertain the concept of an afterlife. And you've got to become very, very educated to not believe in one. Okay? With the stand-up, he says, you know, the older I get, the more I believe in God, and the less I believe in religion. Okay? Now, I'm at that place. I have been religious. I don't much care for it. And I hate it when I'm found religious. So, I would like to introduce you to Mickey Robinson. I want you to pay attention to his testimony and to what he says about never having heard anything about the things that you know. If you would, please. Kill those lights again.
I'd never met anybody who ever told me about anything personally, knowing God or anything supernatural, other than historically what I knew from stories from the Bible. Never met one person who told me they had a real relationship with Jesus. Never knew about the need to really come into a relationship with the Lord through Jesus. And I was busy getting it on. But, you know, there's not enough excitement in the world to ever satisfy. You always got to have more. And I like stuff that was edgy, you know, skiing. And I always liked aviation stuff. And so I started taking flying lessons. And I thought it would be more fun jumping out of airplanes. So I became a sport parachutist. And that really got me. I mean, I became obsessed with skydiving. It really consumed my life. My existence revolved around that 30 to 60 seconds in free fall and that 5-minute parachute ride. Then I had to do it again. It's like like a drug, you know.
It's
almost good.
Like an addiction.
Oh, totally. And then all of a sudden, one night, all that was going to change. Shortly after takeoff, I don't really recall much because I was kind of dozing off, sitting next to the pilot, actually sitting on the floor next to the pilot where we removed the seats in this new aircraft. And I was awakened by a sound unfamiliar to me. It was the sound of the motor going completely silent.
Uh-oh.
And the pilot turned to me and he slapped me. He says, "That's it, we're going down." So we just pitched forward and we plummeted straight down at over 100 miles an hour. And what was seen out of the cockpit, and this was told to me, I don't recall this, but we were going straight to the ground and we're headed right towards a gigantic oak tree. We did hit that tree going, like I said, over 100 miles an hour, and my face stopped my body going 100 miles an hour. Then the airplane cartwheeled on its wings and slammed into the ground. If you see pictures of the aircraft, it didn't look like anybody could survive this. So there was obviously injury and confusion, and the two students got pushed out the doorway and by one of my friends who was a very experienced jumper. And the fourth man out saw me moving in the pilot and assumed we were leaving too. And just as he was going out, the plane went up in flames. And as he was running away, he heard screaming and realized I was trapped inside along with the pilot. And this brave man who was my friend and went back in the plane and saw me trying to escape where the wing had been torn loose from the airplane. But I was stuck, and but something on my equipment or my clothing, it was caught, and I was soaked with fuel, and it was on fire from head to toe.
Wow.
And just like you see in movies, a person whose whole body was engulfed in flames. And this is where God did the first miracle. This man grabbed a hold of my parachute harness and with his bare hands tore that loose. It's 2,000 pounds tensile strength in each one of those straps.
Wow.
Pulled so hard he pulled his thumbs out of his sockets, dragged me away from the plane, and slapped the fire out. It kept reigniting, and then he tried to go back for the pilot, and he couldn't. He was burned alive. Well, they rushed me off to the hospital. Obviously, it was horrible, and they rushed me off to the hospital and saw that I sustained very serious injuries. I had a brain injury. I had burns over a large portion of my body. I had to find out my eye was blind, my right eye was blind, and, you know, tremendous cuts and, you know, this shock of, you know, that crash. I told my family I was going to die. I told my sister to come that day because I was not going to be there in the afternoon. I had an experience I had never heard about, never heard anything like this. As I was laying there in that condition, just racked with pain and in discomfort in every way possible, suddenly my inner man, the real me, my spirit, sat up out of my body, and I could feel my legs go through the springs of the bed.
Wow.
And my spirit came out of my body as if you would take a glove off your hand. And instantly, I was in the spiritual world. Instantaneously, I knew this was the real world. And this man that I was seeing was the real me.
Now, when that happened, were you aware of any pain still?
Or no, I was totally
completely separated from the pain and the carcass.
Completely, no. Behind. And I didn't even remember turning around looking. I mean, I was I was transferred immediately into a spiritual dimension. And everything about the spirit world is more real than this world. The colors are brighter. The edges of everything are sharper. The emotions are just enhanced. They are clear. And instantaneously, the thing that really struck me the most was there was a complete absence of the awareness of time. Everything in this world is relative to time. You know, you got this morning, you'll go to bed at night. Something is old, something is new, it will get old. Something is born, it will die. Everything in this plane, in the physical plane, in the natural plane, is relative to time. But everything in the spiritual plane is relative to eternity. So what had been natural to be aware of time was totally gone. And I was totally aware of eternity. It is shocking. It is stunning to be conscious and to know what eternity is. Also, logic and reasoning doesn't happen there. Now, based on the sum total of all my intelligent thoughts that I've learned, you know, I've had a death and I'm in the spirit world. It's like you just know that you know that you know. It's like having a revelation constantly. And it was incredible. And I knew I was traveling. I could feel, you know, that I was traveling. And as I looked ahead, there was this pure white light. It was whiter than the whitest snow and brighter than 10,000 suns. And yet I could look right at it and it was compelling. And it was like I was being towed.
I was being towed
like a tractor. And as I was looking, I could feel this anticipation.
Wow.
But then simultaneously to that, on my right side, I could feel something. And I looked, and there was this blackness sweeping. Now, this blackness, as I looked at it, instantly I was aware of its complete nature. It was eternal, like I was experiencing eternity. It was without any matter. It was without any life. It was void. And it was forever non-negotiable, cut off from the source of all life. And the more that I looked at it, the faster it would sweep, and the faster and the more that occurred, the more intense the feeling of the nature of being cut off and sealed forever and separated. It is horrific. You would not, I used to never be able to stand to be near anybody who could say go to hell after that, because you wouldn't want the worst person. You wouldn't want Adolf Hitler, Bin Laden, Saddam. You wouldn't want any human being to ever go in there. It was so horrible. And as that was sweeping, it got down to, it was eclipsing this light. So there was just a, it was like you're in a room and you close the door, a dark room, and there's a little space between the door and the door jamb. It wasn't a doorway. It was really, this was a real place that I was seeing and that I was feeling. And as it was closing, it was eclipsing. And now I'm standing on the very edge, the precipice of eternal separation. And I scream out of my spirit, I'm sorry, I want to live. Give me another chance. And just before that was to close, I was standing in the presence of Almighty God. And instantly I knew I would never die for eternity. And
that's mercy.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
And instantly I knew that this being who was off on this side of me, who I didn't see, but I was standing in this river of golden radiation. It looked like a moving river of golden light. And this river went that way. It went that way. It was underneath me. It was going right through me. And this river was alive. I don't know how to describe it, except that this
river, the river of life,
this river was alive, and I was, and it's going right through me, and I'm more alive than anybody can imagine. I mean, this is the height of the experience of life, filled up with life. And somehow I knew this being was going to take care of me for eternity. I didn't see the New Jerusalem. I didn't see any angels in heaven. I didn't see any people gone before me. This was the max. So I was so filled with just the love and all of God's majesty, all of His authority, all of His love, everything was just flowing through me. I was like vibrating like a tuning fork, the very essence of God's nature. But when God spoke to me, and not in a language like you and I are talking now, but the knowledge of His purpose, the word of His purpose, came in through that same light. And I was taken back to the same way I left, sort of like being reeled in like a kite, and I went down through space and time, this dimension. As my spirit settled into my body, and I could start to hear out of these ears and see out of this eye, I came to, and the room materialized, kind of like they beam up on Star Trek.
Right.
And I heard myself speaking in this beautiful language that I had never heard anybody talk about before.
Heavenly language.
Yeah, it was a beautiful language. And when my brain turned on, I thought, what in the heck is this other language? And I was no longer, the person who was dying and dead was no longer, and I was born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. I never heard about that. You know, for years I wondered, what was that blackness and why did it sweep down to where it was just a sliver, like about a half inch of white light? And years later, God revealed it to me. It was really a historical record of my life. That for all the years that I had lived, I was in darkness, and God gave me a space to cry out to Him. And in that space, it changed my future, my destiny, my whole purpose. God loved me the whole time. God was with me. But, you know, don't wait until you're that desperate. We're desperate right now, and He's with you, and you have a chance today to cry out to God. It's not complicated. It's not religious. I mean, certainly my prayer wasn't all that complicated, and it wasn't about religion. It was about I needed life, and there is no one of us before God that doesn't need the whole life that He has to offer. It's usually fear that keeps us from doing that. Or like we're afraid, well, I'm not good enough. That's the whole deal. We need God.
Now, you've seen the commercial that illustrates the experience of my friend. And he's a very prophetic guy. Y'all really like him. He's not two-faced in any way that I can. What? And he's got a great sense of humor. I want to reflect back to you a couple of things that Mickey said that I think are important for us to hear in this season of Christ consciousness. In the beginning of his testimony, he said, I'd never met anybody who told me personally about knowing God or anything supernatural other than historically what I knew from stories in the Bible. I'd never met anybody who told me. And it was almost too late. Never met one person who told me they had a real relationship with Jesus. Never met one person who told me they had a real relationship with Jesus. Never knew about the need to come into a real relationship with the Lord. Is there anybody like that in your life? Is anybody in your life that doesn't have a real relationship with the Lord? You think? Are they on your go to hell list? Let's rehearse this together. Aren't you glad you came? Look, the world is going to be forced to think about Jesus Christ over these next few weeks. The Vatican will see to that. Millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions will tune into that. People don't know what the Jesus deal is. Do you get it? You're living in a post-Christian culture where anything goes. I shouldn't be, this should not be news to you. But how many of you here understand that there is an eternal realm? Okay? How many of you touched it and tasted it? Been impacted by it? Had your physical situation changed by connecting with that realm? Okay? Now, there is a responsibility that comes to those of us who have had that encounter. I like the way John says it, because you know the Apostle John to be credible based on the love relationship he had with the Lord. And he says this in 1 John chapter 1. What was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Now let me pause right there, lest some of you think, well, if I can't touch Jesus, I can't testify about it. Have you been touched by Jesus? Have you been the hand through which Jesus' power has gone? Okay, you have tasted of the power of the age to come now. The eternal umbilical cord is already connected to you. When I say to you, you glow in the dark, it's because you cannot turn that light out. It is the light of life that's on deposit in you. And what I have a difficult time understanding is why we who stand shining in the midst of darkness are embarrassed to say why we have our light on. It's very popular in this culture to say, go to hell. Ever heard that phrase? And in the movies, what's the response? You go first. Right? Now, the casualness of this thing. Oh, it's the Christmas season. What does that mean? It means Santa Claus and the angels on top of the tree, and I got to wander like a zombie, pushing a cart up every aisle, thinking, I don't know how to get them. We've lost the edge on this thing. But it's recoverable because it's God's birthday and He's got a hand in it. Okay? Yeah, I know it's not December the 25th. Don't argue with me about that. The point is, a virgin had a baby. And according to Sarah Knight, a baby changes everything. You want to sing that this year? Yes? Good. I love it when she sings that song. You singing it at the Christmas thingy? Or the Christmas Eve service? Which is both of them? Sing it at both of them. I love it. You ever listen to a song twice? You can do it both times. In our hesitation, I can't help but wonder if it's a lack of confidence in being able to tell the story. Where do you start, for heaven's sakes? Well, John says you start with what you know, what we've looked at and what we've touched with our hands concerning. Now, how many of you died in a plane crash? How many of you didn't die in a plane crash? Okay. How many of you have a different story than the person sitting next to you? So we all have a story. And you don't have to die and almost go to hell and then come back to have a story, right? You were almost going to hell anyway and you've got a story, right? Okay, good. Yeah, your circumstances were different, but you still have a tale that needs to be told. And he goes on to say, and the life was manifested. What manifested when you got touched by the life? Did anything change? Okay, I'm going to point my finger at somebody in about 20 seconds and say, tell me what changed. So engage your mind. I don't want you to raise your hand. I'm going to point my finger. Candace Zeiler, I want to thank you for the Christmas decorations, honey. She put these up yesterday. Isn't that nice? She just dodged a bullet. You may not be so lucky. One more time. Aren't you glad you came? No. I didn't pick anybody and tell them. I just thought this up. Feel it? It's the Christmas sensation, anticipation, anxiety. What changed? I'll get close so you can speak into my microphone.
I was free. I felt free.
Free?
Yes.
How many know free is good? Yeah. So many times I've heard it described as, I felt like a backpack of rocks was taken off of me. I felt like chains fell off. I felt like I had been washed clean inside. Because when the life touches the darkness that was yours, there's a metamorphosis that occurs instantaneously. Angel, where are you? I've seen you 3 or 4 times a day. Now I can't find you. Raise your hand at me. There you are. Angel got saved last week. Now, I know that you don't know much about this yet, but something happened. What happened? What changed? I don't know how to say it yet.
I don't really know how to say it.
Okay. What did it feel like?
Different, a lot happier.
Different and happy. Is that good? You see, it doesn't matter what your story is. The fact is you have a story. That which we have handled, okay, has handled us. And my testimony after 46, 7 years, whatever it is, I'm still being handled by it. Not always as gently as I would hope, but handled, which is good. The life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you what? The eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. He said, I was standing in a river, a golden river, and all I know how to say is it was alive. And I was connected to than God's nature, His authority, His power, His sovereignty, His love. Does that sound better than skydiving? Bungee jumping? Skiing off one of those? I have a friend that did that in his younger days, competitively. And when I had a chance to stand at the base of one of those in Norway with no snow in sight, it's like jumping off a 10-story building really, really fast. And we have seen what we have seen. Have you seen anything? What have you seen? Somebody give me one thing that you've seen as a result of Jesus doing something. People get healed. What does that mean? It means there's a course of nature happening in this decaying body, and something goes wrong, and then somebody lays hands on them and says, Jesus, and the next thing you know, you've seen something. Okay? I remember watching this scenario. Some of you have heard this story. Bill Johnson was ministering, and he was telling about how the Lord catches his attention about things that he wants to do. And so he's in a particular meeting, and a woman has had a snowboarding accident that damaged the leg so that the calf muscle atrophied. You know what that means? It went from bulging to flat. Okay? And when the woman came up, he asked the pastor's wife to lay hands on her leg. And just like that, the muscle restored. It went, whoop, okay? So he goes to the next meeting in this series of meetings. He tells that story, and there are 2 or 3 people in that audience up north someplace with that identical injury. And guess what? They were all healed. He goes to another town. It happens again. He gets back to his home church in Redding, California, and he's giving the report of what happened. And lo and behold, there's a man there on crutches with an atrophied calf muscle who's healed by listening. And guess what? In the meeting where he was telling this, where I was sitting, a woman says, "I've got that. I've got that." He said, "Well, get out and start walking down the aisle." So she gets out and starts doing this down the aisle. She had a good day at church. I saw something that I can testify to. That which we have seen and that which we have heard, we proclaim to you. Do you know what a herald is? And I'm not talking Miami. A herald is someone who proclaims things like, "The king is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, the king." Someone who goes before and makes the place ready. I think for Christmas, we all should get a little trumpet to wear. Before we have to get a trumpet because we need one. But right now, to remind us, we have good news to trumpet over these next 25 days. And for some of you, it would be a breakthrough just to say what you've seen and what you've heard. And be prepared for mixed responses. The one and only time my grandmother ever came to visit me, she's Southern Baptist, raised me to be a good Southern Baptist, and I'm in a Southern Baptist charismatic church. We were good up to charismatic, right? So she went to church with us, and there were a number of people healed that day who gave testimonies in the service. This was like, was it like 2,500 people in this church? Is it that big? 1,200? Well, it was over 1,000, I know. And this is back in 76. So they're rocking. There's no hymn book. See the disconnect here? So finally, over lunch, I said, "Well, Grandma, what did you think of church?" "It was different." "Oh, what did you think about those people who got healed?" See, because in the Baptist church, we believe God can do anything, but usually won't. And so we cover ourselves in every prayer by saying, "If it be thy will," like the Bible doesn't reveal the will of God. So I said, "What did you think about those people who got healed?" And this has stuck with me to this day. And this is so human. How do I know they were really sick? Okay? Now, how the message is received is not our responsibility. That the message is proclaimed is our responsibility, because go and tell is the mandate, right? Now, how many of you have ever been accused of being obnoxious in your telling? Anybody besides me? Okay. Because when I get hold of something, I'm kind of obsessive compulsive about it. And in my early days, you were going to hear about Jesus whether you wanted to or not. And how many of you know they don't want to hear? There's something called a window of opportunity. Y'all know what that is? It's when people's awareness has been raised to the place they can engage the conversation. I'm submitting to you the festival of the Christ is such a window of opportunity. Which hand is the peanut in? Okay? Now, in our considerations for preparation, I don't expect anybody to say anything to another that sounds anything like your story. You have your own story. And people have their own hang-ups, if you will. When the comic says, "The older I get, the more I believe in God, and the less I believe in religion," I'm there. Because religion is the thing we created to protect us from God. Okay? He's not a loving father. He is some kind of autocrat who wants to punish you at every turn. And so God gets blamed for all kinds of things he didn't do. There's trouble in this world. And he said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And he promises us persecutions and sufferings. Why? Because that's the nature of the entropy that's at work in your body and in this portion of the universe. Now, how do you connect the dots for people? See, Mickey said, I didn't know anything about the supernatural except historically from the stories I had read in the Bible. God parted the sea, the burning bush, that kind of stuff. But in this house, those of you who have been here any length of time at all, I can't imagine you have not touched the supernatural realm. Because that's part of our bread and butter. But those who are still laboring with their frustration, how many of you know it's okay to be frustrated with religion? Okay? I mean, and I'm not mad about it particularly. I used to be, because some of that stuff is just stupid. But it was, at the time it was created, they were dealing with issues that they didn't have a revelation, but they had to give an answer. You know what I'm saying? And I don't fault any men and women of good conscience who try to explain things even when they don't know what they're talking about because you ask a question. Okay? There's no reason to be mad. We just need to get clear. Now, if there is any other way to God than Jesus Christ, let's quit meeting. Do you understand me? I am not in this for anything other than the Lord. And if there's any way to get to heaven, to get to God, to have eternal life apart from Jesus Christ, then Christ is a liar and the Bible is false. And like Paul says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, we among all people are most to be pitied because we have declared that which is not true and we're believing a lie. Now, if all you have is a belief system, it's easy to get to that place. But if you have encounters with the eternal, that's a different tale. Did you like Mickey's story? I mean, apart from the burning and dying, all that stuff. He's a good brother. I should have him up here. Y'all enjoy him. Y'all got a yellow piece of paper in your hand. All right? I want you to look at it. Now, if I was a sophisticated PowerPoint guy, this would all come up one piece at a time, but I'm not. But how many of you have ever said, well, I believe in God, back when you didn't know God from a wall? Why? Because it is inherent in the human. Now, remember, after the spiritual connection was cut and God came into the garden, what did Adam do? He hid himself. I was afraid because I'm naked and ashamed in your presence. All right? When God calls them to Mount Sinai to bring them into his royal priesthood, and they hear the trumpets and they feel the earthquakes, the tremors, and they see the flashes of lightning and they hear the voice, what did the people say? Moses, you go talk to him. You come tell us what he said and we'll do what you said he said. Because we don't want an actual relationship. We want somebody to stand between us. But I believe in God. That's what that's about. That's what religion does. It stands between you and God. And so we create a priesthood. How many grits? Amen. Here's your homily. And we buy into that system because we don't know any better. Okay? How many of you think that you can get to heaven by trying to be good? When I was growing up, my mother would do anything she could to collect S&H green stamps. Anybody under the age of 20 have any idea what I'm talking about? I didn't think so. Okay? But it was kind of like your little Subway stickers. Back when they would do this, you'd collect enough of them, you get a free sandwich. Well, Christianity was about doing good. And if you had enough S&H good deed green stamps to give to God, the chances are you'd get in. My favorite aunt was fond of saying, I don't care if I'm a doormat in heaven as long as I'm on the inside of the threshold. Wipe your feet on me and come on through. And we'd sing songs like, just a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Forget that. I want a beachfront thing on that crystal-looking sea thingy, whatever that is. Y'all go to the mountain of the Lord. I'm going to the beach of God, okay? Y'all ski. I'm the spirit with the good tan, all right? Don't mess with my heaven creature. Go on. All you got to do is go to church and read the Bible. I can't begin to imagine how many unredeemed people are regularly attending church thinking that's going to do it. Okay? We've got this sin problem that separates you from God. And none of this junk, none of this try to be good, I believe in God, go to church, you're going to get it cut. Is this a simple drawing or what? Okay. I didn't make this drawing. If I'd have made it, it would have been arrows rather than shepherd's crooks. Because they're all too short to reach the goal of eternity with God. But not just eternity with God. We've got to quit thinking about heaven is over there. Eternity is now. We are connected to the eternal spirit right now. That's why things can change in the physical realm. And you can grow in that anointing. That's why some of my friends see blind eyes open and the dead are raised. Okay? How do you deal with the sin problem? God makes a bridge. And Jesus should be written right across the top of that sin because he deals with the issue. All right? Now, how many of you know what a living parable is? Anybody ever read the book of Jeremiah? Ezekiel? Any of those guys? How would you like to lay naked on your side in the street for 3 years? How would you like to walk around in a great, big, funny-looking diaper as an adult? To make God's point, he would do things like that. He will give us images. Now, here's an interesting one. Yes, I'm closing with this. Anybody ever seen movies where prisoners were dressed in stripes back before International Orange became popular? They still wear stripes now? They do? I didn't know that. When I see them out picking up trash, never mind. But you know what the stripes represent, right? Prisoners. Wrong shirt. Where's Susan? Stand up, Susan, wherever you are. She left? Oh, okay. All of you with stripes, stand up. Thank you, Irving. Is he? God, wear a coat and tie. You wouldn't be in a public display right now. Okay. One of Susan felt impressed to wear stripes today because the Lord wants to free people from whatever they feel imprisoned by. Okay? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for wearing stripes, being available to the Holy Spirit as a living parable. You may sit down and breathe a sigh of relief. I am through picking on you. Sometimes we're imprisoned by what we think, you know? Read this somewhere in the last week. Everyone is a genius. But if you define genius to a fish as being able to climb a tree, he'll spend his entire life thinking he's inept. Okay. Now, this little prison house right here holds many of us back from the freedom Zed talked about. I just felt free. Because we've got these notions in here. The image of the God we created. who's got his finger on you all the time, always looking for some reason to knock you off the bus. That's foolishness. For God so that he gave, that will should not perish but have everlasting life. Life that lasts forever, starting the moment you come to Christ. Now, if you're here this morning and you've been doing well, God won't ever forgive me for the stuff I've done. Look, he's already forgiven you. You just haven't picked up the package. Okay? He's not mad at anybody. For this is the favorable year of the Lord. Do you understand me? This is the acceptable year of the Lord. He's still accepting. He's still showing his favor. Because judgment is coming. It's not here. And sin has already been judged in the cross. And it's not on your ticket. Christ paid the ticket. So quit feeling like you got to sneak out of the restaurant. Walk boldly up there and say, my bill's been paid. And let the Lord know that you know he did that. I love Mickey's prayer. What was it? I'm sorry. I don't want to die. Give me another chance. And presto. I worked with a street evangelist in Ukraine. He didn't like the way I was praying. Every 15 minutes we're leading people to the Lord. He didn't like the way I was praying. I had to get him to say the right words. No, you don't. Because God knows your heart. There's a need for some of us to get serious about growing up. Well, it's Jesus plus nothing. That's nonsense. It's Jesus plus everything you are. He is not selling you a free coupon, he's inviting you to set others free. This is a walk of faith, and we should be growing in it. Some of you need to reconnect. You need to get a mentor, a coach, a guide, a small group, a connection group, something, and start breaking loose into the destiny to which God appointed you. Mickey said, when the word came into me and I understood the purpose, it changed everything. Lots of us know that. Some of us need to rediscover it. Okay? Now, do you think you can draw that little drawing on a Subway napkin? You think so? I think I'm going to send you to Connection Group today and have you tell your story. What do you think of that? I know Thelma wants to. She raised her hand already. Look, I'm going to open the altar. What that means is this. To those of you that don't know church talk, God forgive me for using church talk, but I'm with church people and it rubs off on me. If you know you're not up to date with the Lord at any level and you want to do business with him today, re-engaging his call on you, I invite you to come talk to him. If you need somebody to pray with you, we've got people who can pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we've got people here who watch God heal through their hands. It's amazing. Empty hands and suddenly something happens and they felt, tasted, touched, and can tell. So why don't you stand? Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all responsibility we have before Christ to those He has put in our life. And I'm asking you this Christmas season to be ready with an answer for those who ask about the hope that is in you. The altar's open if you need to do business with the Lord. Otherwise, I release you to, I assume, coffee and stuff out there in connection groups in about 10 minutes where you sit around and practice your little yellow paper. The altar's open, so please take your conversation with you.